Perfect. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Magnolia Public Schools Special Development and Stakeholder Committee meeting. My name is Jennifer Lara, and I'm the Executive Assistant here at Magnolia Public Schools. Before we begin, two reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. And second, if you are a member of the public and you'd wish to give a comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it's something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. However, as a reminder to our staff and our board members, please state your name before giving your comment. So with that, we'll officially begin today's meeting. The day is Thursday, June 3rd, and the time is 6:03 p.m. With that, Ms. Gonzalez, may you please call the meeting to order?
Yes. Good evening, staff and board members. I'd like to call the Special Development and Stakeholders Committee meeting to order, and it is now 6:03 p.m. on June the 3rd, 2021.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. So with that, I'll record attendance to establish quorum. Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Dr. Yalpino?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you to our committee members. We have quorum to continue tonight's meeting. Next, we're moving on to public comments. We did not receive any public comments form for this meeting, but as a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comment and six minutes if translation is needed. Since we did not receive any public comment form, you may unmute yourself to give your comment. Perfect. If there's no public comments, we'll move forward with the agenda. Next, with the approval of the agenda, the motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll now take vote. Ms. Gonzalez? Ms. Gonzalez, for your vote?
Yes.
Dr. Yalpino?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to the approval of minutes from May 19th, 2021. Would a board member like to move the motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Dr. Yalpino. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. I'll now take vote. Ms. Gonzalez?
I'm going to abstain since I wasn't here for the meeting.
Okay, Dr. Yalpino?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. We have two yeses and one abstaining. The minutes still approve for May 19th, 2021. Next, we'll move on to the recommended action items, starting with 2A, MPS School Site Classified Employees Pay Raise Schedule for 2021 through 22. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer. Mr. Ajar?
Hi, Jennifer. I am right now in my car, so I will ask Daria to read the item for me, and I'm going to provide my comments right after that.
Okay, go, Ms. Hashmirza.
Right. Good evening, board members, Magnolia family. Tonight, we are bringing this item to present for you to get your recommend approval of the classified 2021-22 classified employee salary pay raise scale schedule and to move this item for the full board approval. Every year, every fiscal year, MPS considers a fair rate of increase to the classified employee salary. But due to COVID-19, this increase was frozen during the 2021 school year. So with that, as explained, as presented in this board report, we are proposing to make 2%, 4%, or 6% increases to classified employees' hourly rates and salaries to define their 21-22 hourly rates in respect to employees' evaluation results. And this is this pay schedule for the school site classified employees. So if you go down to chart, there are two charts that we're presenting. Basically, the first chart shows the numbers of the positions that we have and numbers of how many classified employees. And then the average hourly rate, and with that rate, what the 4% and 6% increase would be. And respectively, if you go to second chart on the following page of the report, you will see the budget impact with those increases for the next fiscal school year. And with that, Sergio, if you want to add anything else.
Thank you so much, Daria, for reading. As presented here, we do have the budget impacts. We have all the classified job titles in front of you. The report actually is almost the same as the previous years. We are using the same format for classified employees pay raise schedule. We decided to go with 2, 4, and 6% increases depending on the performances of the employees. The performances has not been completed actually in our staff evaluation platform. Once it's complete, we will have exact numbers. The numbers, the budget impacts right now you see in front of you are calculated with respect to the highest expected percentages. So that's why this is the possible highest impact for each school site. Another thing that we did, if you look at the chart one, if you can go back in the board on track and look at last year's actually classified pay raise schedule, you will see that the number of job titles, you know, has decreased. We are, every year, we are standardizing actually the job titles to have like a uniform type of job title across all Magnolia. We did a lot last year. This year, we did more, like approximately 4 or 5 job titles actually are merged into 2 or 3 different job titles, like generalized job titles. Other than that, I mean, if our board members have any questions, myself, Daria, and Mr. Orozov is our CFO, and Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO, we are here to respond to any questions you may have.
This is Daria, the HR director. Before we take on any questions, just there is a one typo on the chart you see in front of you, and we will make that change on board on track. It's actually, there is one typo on the position. It should be director of outreach and community engagement position. So. For this meeting purposes, and we will also reflect this change on board on track.
You have to write Thank you, development team. And communications. Is there a different title then?
No, it should be director of outreach and community engagement. So that should be replaced by this job title.
The new title.
I will make that change. Yes.
Yeah, just a little typo.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
We only have one title, one coordinator.
Correct. Right now, at this point, we only have one. Well, we had two positions at two different school sites, but currently we only have one employee under this job title.
Okay, so does this coordinator then handle all the sites?
No, this is for specific school site, but of course coordinating with different, with the home office and the school site principal. Yes, but yeah.
Any further questions from our board members? Perfect. If there is no questions, I'll read off the motion. So the motion is for the Development and Stakeholder Committee to recommend the approval of the 2021 through 22 classified employee salary pay raise schedule and move the item to the MPS Board of Directors for approval. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
Actually, where are the budgets? If you are bringing a raise, pay scale raise, there has to be a budget accompanying the raise scale, right? I want to see if the schools are negative, positive. Where are they with this change?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Dr. Yakhanel. So we are working on the budgets as we speak. We're trying to finalize those. But as you may have heard, we were waiting for the May revision, which of the governor's budget proposal. So that happened on May 14th, and we're working with the school sites, almost day in and day night. We're having meetings with the principals. We're having meetings internally in the finance department. We're hoping to bring the budgets to the finance committee of the board, the draft budgets next Monday. And then I think we're scheduled to have a regular board meeting next week on Thursday. That will be the first time we're going to be presenting to the budget to the board. It will be, again, not a final budget, but a draft version of the budget. We will be presenting the final budgets on the 24th for board's approval.
I don't think I can approve this item without seeing the budgets.
I don't think so either, because you're not giving us the input that we need in order to go ahead and say that these percentages are going to work with the budget that we don't have.
Yeah, that's a fair expectation, but I think we had the same situation in the prior years. We always have to extend the offers to the employees prior to having the board approve the budget, which is happening late in June. And if we wait until the budgets are approved, I think, it's too late for the offers to be extended to these employees. But again, I can give you an overall overview, and you have it under this section. I think it should be under the budget impact section. My review process, or my comments in terms of budget review. But at this point, it's totally up to the board. If you guys would like to approve it or not, or if you want to wait for the budgets to be presented first. On top of that, we had a lot of one-time funding due to COVID-19, which required a lot more work related to the budget. So this year, compared to the previous years, I think we're having to have twice or maybe even more work related to the budget because of the one-time funding that we're receiving. We're having to balance, we're having to meet all the requirements for those restrictions on the one-time funding, and which is really taking long, long hours in terms of budget planning.
And you're asking us to make a decision whether we want to do 4 or 6%. Is that true?
This will be it's going to be 2, 4, 6% of increase. So based on the employee evaluation from the school sites, but the budget impact is reflected considering what will be the highest possible budget numbers that you see on the report. That's been calculated based on 4 or 6. Percent increase.
I didn't understand that. Yeah. So, are you asking us to decide whether you want to do 4% or 6%? What was the response?
The approval request is we are making, Dr. Yakhanel, is to approve us to give 2% increase to the employees who get 2 out of 4 from their evaluation. 4% to the employees who are getting 3 out of 4, that is effective, and us to give 6% to the employees who are perfect actually and getting 4 out of 4 from their evaluations. So depending on the evaluation result of each employee, we will apply these increases to the employees.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yes. My estimation, Dr. Yakhanel, the total impact will be something around 4 to 5%, because most of our employees, I expect around 60 to 70% of the employees are efficient. Some 20 to 30 are highly efficient. So approximately, maybe 4.5%, 5%. But for the sake of the budget, we went with the highest possible increase for all the employees. So you may expect like 1 to 1.5% less compared to the analysis here in the actual life, because not all the employees will be highly efficient.
Regarding the budget, Serdar, can we get an overview of how budgets look like with these increases that we are expected to approve?
Yeah, I mean, do you want me to just verbally walk you through right now, or do you want to kind of wait until Monday when we're going to be presenting the budget to the Finance Committee? How do you want me to provide the update? Right, like I can walk, okay. So what I can say is...
Diane, having a verbal walkthrough will convince you to cast a vote on this or no?
I'm looking at this and I really want to see more of a budget. I mean, you can walk through it, but I'm not really ready to make a vote on this right now. I'd like to see on Monday what the final, you know, what we are looking at basically, because this is only a projection. It's not giving us the pros and the cons. And I don't want us to go into an area of default coming down the road for something, you know, that we're approving at this point, not knowing what our budget and our expectations are from our budget that we're passing.
So I can speak to that. So we, in our projections for the budget, we used the 6% just to be on the conservative side. And we are encountering like enrollment declines for some of the schools. And that's what I included in my analysis and under budget implications paragraph. I can't, at this point, I can't, present any budgets as I was not ready for this presentation. I was thinking to present the budgets on Monday. Again, I can just provide an overview in terms of how schools are doing or in terms of projections into 21-22. But if it's not sufficient, then we can wait until Monday for my presentation to be brought into the Finance Committee of the Board.
Is there time to wait?
Well, that's the thing, Dr. Yapanel. It's I actually was asking for the same thing when I was sitting right by next to you. Okay. But again, the problem is, we have to understand the budgeting process. Mm-hmm. The projections for now, for example, for the government proposal is not approved until June 15th. So we're literally acting on the proposals at this point. For the state, the projections, the proposal. Is not going to become an actual budget until June 15th. At that point only, we can say for sure that the funding level that we're expecting will be the actual revenues we can expect to receive from the state. And for that given reason, we wanted to wait until May 14, which made actual sense because of the updates we received from the government's office. With all the revisions and the May revision, I think we had to change a lot of things on the budgets. It would have been incomplete if we just went ahead and went with the January proposal because it was too early in the year. And always what's happening is in May, there is a huge revision of the budget or the proposal, not the budget. That's what we've been expecting, especially given the COVID situation and then the revenue surplus at the state level. We really wanted to wait out and see how that will impact the state's budget and the school's budgets respectively. And I think part of the COVID's impact, I think we're still having some difficulties in terms of enrollment. Last year, as you know, there was this provision passed by the legislatures approving the hold harmless. That is not going to be happening for 21-22, which might cause some declines in enrollment because of the fact that the schools were not able to do much of a reach out in this COVID era in the marketing efforts. But then overall in the statewide, I think the traditional schools and the charter schools are experiencing declines in enrollment, and that those things will have an impact on our budgets. However, given the fact that last year there was no increase provided to the staff in terms of salary increases. I think the staff's recommendation is to kind of offer them an increase this year, given that there is a COLA increase on the LCFF, a general fund revenue to the schools. That increases at 507%. That's the cost of living adjustment on the LCFF revenue. Which is basically the unrestricted revenue that we can use up for the different salary increases.
So with that, how does the committee want to proceed?
Well, could we just do the 2% and go that way, and later on, if we need to do another percentage, we can do it later on and just stay with the 2%? Because usually state, city, and federal are only going to give 1%, 5% this year for a cost of living.
So the cost of living increase, rate we're receiving from the state is 5.07% on the LCFF revenue. And, that's for both years, not for only 21-22, given that the COLA was frozen last year. What was proposed by the governor, and we think that it will be approved on June 15th, is that, provide a COLA increase for 21-22, which is around 3.8%, plus provide another 2.3, which was enacted. It was supposed to be enacted last year, but because of the COVID-19, that was frozen and was not provided to the schools. So altogether, what the state is proposing, what the governor's office is proposing, to provide whatever was frozen last year and added to the 21-22 fiscal period, which sums it up to 5.07% overall in terms of COLA increase. So that's the analysis we used. That's the ratio we used in our analysis. And because last year there was no increase provided in the salaries due to COVID-19, and because we're now receiving the COLA that was frozen last year in going into 21-22, the recommendation from the staff is to go with 2%, 4%, and 6% increase based on the performance evaluation of the staff.
So Mr. Sadar, you said that you went through the budgets already, but they're not completely completed, you said, until Monday?
Yes, we're still working on it. And we are hoping to be able to present the draft budgets on Monday to the Finance Committee of the Board. And then on Thursday, in the regular meeting of the Board, to present the same numbers, the same report.
So what is not completed again? I'm sorry.
There are a lot of moving pieces, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. We have so much additional revenue. We have the ABC 86 funding, and we have the extended learning opportunity grant as part of that, plus the in-person instruction grant. We have ESSER 2, ESSER 1. We have the ESSER 3 funding that we are receiving from the federal and state governments. What we're having to do is we're not only having to project our budgets for the operating budget, but we're also having to project and forecast the expenses for those additional programs that we have to add on to remedy the impact of the COVID-19 and remedy the loss of learning due to distance learning and all of that, which amplifies the effort that is needed to finish up and complete the budget work. So, for the most part, the budgets are ready, but we're having to have, versions, rounds and rounds of meetings with the principals to go over all of those moving pieces to make sure that we are covering all the, all the pieces and nothing is left out.
So with the numbers that you guys have on hand now, are principals comfortable with those numbers for their budgets to pass these numbers, these raises?
Well, I don't want to talk on behalf of the principals, and overall, I think the principals are for providing more salary increases to the staff. But I think from mm-hmm. my perspective, I'm concerned. I can't say that I can say that's, yeah, there's no concern. There are no issues mm-hmm. going to the next fiscal year because of the enrollment uncertainty. Because there are some schools that we are experiencing in terms of projections. We don't know how it's going to play out. But at least in terms of projections, we are, seeing some decline in enrollment, and that's pretty much causing us some concern in terms of budget, right? And given that concern, I am a little concerned about the budget. But again, given that we did not provide any increase last year, we would like to be able to provide some increase to our employees to be able to, adjust the salaries by the COLA, cost of living adjustment.
Yes. Yeah, this is, it's hard.
Mr. Hernandez, do you have a question?
Well, yeah. Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was gonna share, there was a question about principal's comfortability with the budget. So this is Jason Hernandez, principal at Magnolia Science Academy, Bell. And I've had the chance, I think I'm just about complete. So Darius is correct. The enrollment stuff is a difficult challenge for some of our schools, my school in particular. But based on some of the federal funding, additional federal funding that we've gotten and the state funding, we're going to be okay for this upcoming year. And I'm confident that as the economy starts to open up and we'll start seeing our numbers go up in enrollment. But I think what we have currently in federal and state, those additional, I think that'll carry us this coming school year. And then the following school year, I should see those numbers going back up to where they're at. And Sadar has done a great job to ensure that we're taking a very conservative approach to our budget. So, you know, he's making sure that when we're talking about, like, we're talking about sustainability when we're doing these budgets. So that's why we've had several rounds of meetings. But at least from my perspective, I feel pretty confident where we're at, and I think we're going to see enrollment increase the following school year.
Thank you.
Yeah, and my concern is also because you're going to be giving them stipend this year for the 21-22 school year. Are they going to expect something like this for the 22-23 school year? Because you may not be able to provide that again.
So if I understood the question, Diane, you're asking if we're going to be able to provide the same level of increase in salaries in the upcoming year or the following year in 22-23. Yes. Is that the question?
Yes.
So the salary increase is once it's approved, it's actually in perpetuity. So the rate is automatically the same rate in the upcoming year and the following year and the years following to that. We're not approving the increases in terms of approving these rates for only 1 year. I think you're asking the right question, and we need to make sure that we can sustain this level of salary increase, and that's what we're looking at. And we have plans, although we are experiencing some decline in enrollment. We believe that some of that is caused by COVID-19, especially in the schools that we're experiencing declines. I think those are the schools that are hit by the COVID-19 the most. In terms of, being able to reach out to parents, in terms of, being able to do marketing for the enrollment purposes. But going back to Jason's point, for that specific reason, we're receiving a lot of help from the federal and state governments so that we can remedy those impacts, the hardships that is caused by the pandemic. And we have, additional revenues. Those are not ongoing. We are fully aware that those revenues will not be ongoing revenues. They will be expiring in 3 year time at most, at the longest. But we are taking a very conservative approach in terms of how we can plan accordingly so that we can have a sustainable budget going forward after these funds expire. In that regard, what we did is we separated our budgets into two different categories, operating budget and non-operating budget. We're trying not to use the one-time additional funding from the federal or the state governments for ongoing operational expenses. We're trying to use them for added on expenses like special programs designed to address the hardship caused by the pandemic only. Also, if there's been any enrollment decline where we believe was caused by the COVID-19, those are the only situations we're kind of using this one-time funding until we can recover in terms of enrollment which we think were caused by the pandemic.
I'm comfortable moving. I don't know what you both, yeah, just because.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Just to facilitate this, but I want to see the budgets as quick as you guys can get them to us. I'm concerned that we might be in the red for some of them. And I don't want to see it, fix it before bringing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why I didn't pass last week's meeting item, because it was incomplete. But with what I read, I got more information and more understanding. So I'm more comfortable with passing this item today. But it's, I don't know what you both are thinking.
Yeah, and this is Alfredo. Just to add some more perspective, the large districts, including LAUSD, they are negotiating these rates for next year with their teachers union. That hasn't been settled yet, but we do expect similar bumps. And the districts, you know, including Magnolia, you know, we know that the state, there is an enrollment decline. We do know that the federal funds will be used to sustain some of the schools because of COVID. And we do know that this is an opportunity for us to sustain ourselves for a couple of years, but then obviously ramp up our efforts. So we go through each school has its own story to tell. And each school has some positive sides to it and some areas where we need to focus on. But I think going back to this sense of stability for the next couple of years, I think we are optimistic because of the federal funds that we're able to carry ourselves. And then very, you know, very truthfully say now, like if we don't reach this number by 2023, then we have to be ready to make some of these cuts, right? Because the districts like LAUSD losing 30,000 students, you know, we're projected to lose 69 students. And a majority of that is because of MSA 5 moving from MSA 5 to 1. We're going from 296 to 270. And then MSA 6 going from its current campus to the new campus. We're currently at about 80 students. So that's a drop of 40. So there alone is the 3869 to 3800 number we have. And this, again, this is impacting everyone. It's not like what we're doing here is different than anyone, because LAUSD not only is using this money to make sure that all the adults are in the classroom and that they're getting their extra pay, but making sure they hire more people. I was able to showcase with the school sites that the district, just because of this federal funding, is gonna hire close to 6,000 new positions for next year, right? Just to make sure that the kids, when they come back into the school sites, do have more adults, more support, because ultimately we want our kids to make sure that they accelerate their learning. So by the time the end of the year comes in August, we could say, thank God that we had all this funding. Thank God that we kept all the different people in the room, because now our kids are now back on track, right? So it is a little scary, but again, what we're doing here is very similar to what others are doing. And again, we are in essence always looking at our neighbor and saying, what are you doing that we could do better, right? But nowhere do we say, well, you do this and we do less, because if we do less, then the outcomes are less. And as charter schools, if our outcomes are less, then we get denied and we don't get a five-year renewal. So I think there's a balance there of how much do you wanna balance the risk versus, you know, what it's gonna take to really get us through, right? And if we look at our history, over the last 2 years, we've had positive net incomes across all the schools, right? So everyone has been fiscally responsible, even with enrollment declines of 3957, went to 3891, went to 3850. So again, we as a group have worked together to make sure that all those budgets have a net income over the last 2 years. So there does have to be a sense of, okay, let's go with what we're filling with, but the data does tell us a true story and move forward, because, you know, I think the time calls for it, because the district has to approve their budget June 14th. So that means they have to submit their paperwork June 9th. And when you look at their budget, they're making assumptions that we are not making right now. We're waiting to see what the final, you know, print says, right? But if you look at the district's budget, it assumes that we're getting this amount of money for this and this amount of money for that. We're being very tactful and making sure we wait. But again, we're not doing anything, you know, different. And I think ultimately the school sites with the home office working together, making sure that if something does not come out the right way, then we make the adjustments at the beginning of the school year. And we've been able to do that successfully over the last 2 years, again, with positive net income across the school. Some of them have been negative, others have been positive, but it's never taken away from the academic program that we provide to those families, because we had an increase in academic performance in 18-19, and we were expecting the same thing in 19-20. So I think there's something to be said about, hey, we've gone through this before, we know what to do, and we're going to come out stronger. So that's all I would like to add to that.
So if the committee members like proceeding forward, I could read off the motion again, unless there's more questions.
Go ahead, Jennifer, and read it all.
Okay. So the motion is once again for the Development and Stakeholder Committee to recommend the approval of the 2021 through 22 classified employee salary pay raise schedule and move the item to the MPS Board of Directors for approval. Would a committee member like to move the motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Dr. Yapano. Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll now take vote. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Dr. Yapano?
Yes.
Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you to our committee members. The motion carries with a unanimous vote. So that concludes all of our agenda items for today's meetings. As I mentioned in the chat, we do have a special board meeting at 7 p.m. The link for that meeting is on the chat. So with that, for adjournment, Ms. Gonzalez, may you adjourn the meeting. The time is 6:40 p.m.
At this point, I'd like to adjourn our Special Development and Stakeholders Committee meeting of June the 3rd at 6:40 p.m.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Bye, everyone. See you in a bit.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. See you soon.